Today is Tuesday, June 15th. We'll tell you about a painful milestone in the COVID-19 pandemic and another vaccine that could help end it. Also, a new warning about QAnon followers. The so-called digital soldiers may become more violent in the real world. Plus, why more older cars are on the road these days, a new predicament for the Girl Scouts, and what to know before booking your next trip to a theme park. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in about 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Lacey Evans, filling in for Erica Mandy during her maternity leave. You ready? Let's do this. Today, the U.S. is set to reach a milestone that would have been considered unthinkable a year ago. It looks like we will pass 600,000 people killed by COVID-19 in this country alone. To put that number into perspective, it's greater than the population of Baltimore, Maryland, or Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And as bad as that is, that number only accounts for the deaths reported by Johns Hopkins University. The true death toll is believed to be much higher. The only upside is now the pace of new deaths is slowing. The number of Americans dying from COVID-19 each day has gone from thousands a day to hundreds. Still, some people seem to be more susceptible than others. Black Americans are dying at higher rates than other groups. The AP says that's because they tend to have less access to medical care and have higher rates of conditions like diabetes and high blood pressure. Black Americans also are more likely to have jobs deemed essential and are less able to work from home. But it doesn't just come down to race. Location is also a big factor, since some places have more people vaccinated than others. In Vermont, more than 80% of the eligible population has gotten at least one shot, whereas in Mississippi, the rate is lagging at about 34%. Vice President Harris is now touring southern states in hopes of boosting vaccination rates where they're fizzling. More COVID-19 shots could be available soon to boost the vaccine supply worldwide. Novavax says it completed its final phase trial and found its two-shot option was about 90% effective against a few different COVID-19 variants. On top of that, Novavax says the shots were proven to be safe, with trial volunteers only getting mild side effects like temporary fatigue, headaches, and muscle pain. That puts the vaccine about on par with the shots from Pfizer and Moderna that are already on the market here in the U.S. But the Novavax one is said to be even easier to store and transport, so it could play an important role in poorer parts of the world. The only issue is the company has been dealing with shortages of raw materials, so it will take a few months to build up its supply. Novavax eventually plans to seek authorization from the U.S., Europe, and elsewhere by the end of September. And if all goes well, it hopes to have about 110 million doses for the U.S. and more than a billion doses to developing countries over the next year. The FBI has a new warning for lawmakers. It says people who believe QAnon conspiracy theories could get violent against Democrats and other political opponents. Remember, QAnon claims former President Trump is a secret warrior against a supposed child trafficking ring that's run by celebrities and government officials. The FBI debunked that theory a long time ago while Trump was in office, but some people keep sharing QAnon content online. They apparently believe Trump is now a so-called shadow president, or that President Biden's victory was a sham and that Trump needs to be restored. So this week, the FBI and Homeland Security Department sent lawmakers a report about it. It predicts some QAnon followers will likely believe they have an obligation to force change by getting violent. Already, the FBI says it's arrested more than 20 QAnon believers for their roles in the Capitol riot on January 6th. Since then, the movement has died down a little bit, though. The FBI credits large social media companies for banning QAnon posts and groups. Now, most of the chats are happening on smaller QAnon websites and bulletin boards. The Justice Department is making some changes to how it investigates possible leaks from now on. This comes as the government faces an outcry over this issue. Remember, new details came out in the last few days about investigators secretly collecting data on several Democratic lawmakers and staff members while President Trump was in office. At the time, the DOJ was investigating who was behind news stories about ties between certain Trump associates and Russia. Well, now, the new attorney general says his office is evaluating and strengthening department policies and procedures when it comes to getting records from members of Congress. Meanwhile, the DOJ official who has been overseeing the leak investigation since 2018 says he's going to be stepping down at the end of this week. He says it's not related to this latest controversy, though, that his exit was already planned. And a House panel is going to be launching a formal investigation into the data seizure. The DOJ's inspector general launched his own investigation last week. To be continued. For the first time, NATO leaders highlighted what they called challenges coming from China. This marks a big shift for the alliance, since the 30 world leaders who make up NATO are usually devoted to protecting Europe and North America. They don't typically mention Asia at all. But this time, they came together to raise some concerns. They mentioned China expanding its nuclear arsenal, modernizing its military, and using disinformation to keep the rest of the world in the dark. However, they made it clear China is not considered an enemy. They just want to address what they consider to be a potential threat. Chinese officials have responded, saying they're only building up their defenses and their motives are peaceful. Separately, the NATO leaders supported the American decision to withdraw troops from Afghanistan. NATO leaders agreed to pay to keep the Kabul airport running, and they say they'll keep discussing other ways to keep Afghanistan secure. When it comes to the overall tone of the meeting, NATO's Secretary General said it was like the, quote, first day back at school. He said President Biden and other allies reaffirmed their commitment to NATO and that the alliance remains strong. Next up, President Biden is meeting with European Union leaders today. And then tomorrow, he sits down for a highly anticipated meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Stay tuned. Much more news ahead, but first, a word from our sponsor at Ritual. Here's your main host, Erica Mandy.
Ritual's prenatal vitamin is definitely part of my morning ritual. I take them every day without fail. And after the baby is born, I'll switch to their postnatal vitamin. And after that, I'll keep taking their women's multivitamin. I love that Ritual vitamins are scientifically developed to support different life stages. In fact, they're now available for women, men, and teens. And no matter who is taking them, we all deserve to know what we're putting in our bodies and why. And that's why I appreciate Ritual's transparent approach. They have a one-of-a-kind visible supply chain so you always know what nutrients you're taking and where they came from. And you will not find sugars, GMOs, major allergens, synthetic fillers, or artificial colorants. Plus, with Ritual, I never worry about running out. Ritual multivitamins are delivered every month with free shipping always. And you can start, snooze, or cancel your subscription anytime. And if you don't love Ritual within your first month, they'll even refund your first order. So get key nutrients with Ritual. And right now, Ritual is offering my listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. Just visit ritual.com/newsworthy to start your ritual today. That's ritual.com/newsworthy.
Anyone with a Google account now has access to Google Workspace for free. Workspace is the same service that used to be called the G Suite and was available to business accounts only. The idea is to make it easier for people to collaborate. Online services like Gmail, Docs, Sheets, the calendar, and Google Meet are all in one place. This week, Google announced Workspace also includes new features. For example, people are able to share a doc, sheet, or a slide within a Meet call. Video calls are also getting live captions, hand-raising, polls, and more. Google Chat will now let you pin messages and create custom statuses. And there is a new smart suggestion tool for emails and documents. Google is hoping Workspace will help make its products more attractive against some of its professional competitors, like Microsoft Office, Zoom, and Slack. American drivers are holding onto cars, trucks, and SUVs longer than ever before. The research firm IHS Markit released new data this week showing the average vehicle on the road is about 12 years old. That's the oldest average the U.S. has ever seen. IHS credits better quality and durability. It's more common now than it was 20 years ago for a car with 200,000 miles on it to still be running. Price could also be a factor for some drivers. Average prices for new and used vehicles have soared during the pandemic and aren't expected to go down anytime soon. And then there's another reason. People aren't getting rid of their old cars just because they buy new ones. So they're getting passed on or sold to new owners, while new vehicle sales keep rising. The Girl Scouts had a harder time selling cookies this year because of the pandemic. And now the organization says it has 15 million extra boxes of cookies left over. Most of the unsold cookies are still sitting at the bakeries, and local councils are sitting on at least 3 million unsold boxes. So they're scrambling to sell or donate them. Troops typically sell the cookies in person by setting up booths in public places, but many of them decided not to this year because of COVID-19 health concerns. And as the AP reports, online sales didn't make up the difference. But the biggest hit is to the local troops themselves. The Girl Scouts used the money from cookie sales to help fund activities like camps, trips, and educational programs. Starting today, California is lifting most of its COVID-19 restrictions. And that means, for the first time since the pandemic started, theme parks like Disneyland, Universal Studios Hollywood, and SeaWorld are welcoming back all out-of-state visitors. The theme parks are allowed to operate at full capacity, no distancing required. As for masks, if you've gotten your COVID-19 shots, you won't have to wear a mask most of the time. But if you haven't been vaccinated, Disneyland says you still have to wear a mask anytime you're inside. That's going to be largely based on the honor system, though, since none of the major parks will ask for proof of vaccination. And keep in mind, everyone, vaccinated or not, will have to wear masks on transportation, like buses and monorails. One last thing to keep in mind, at some places, you will need both a ticket and a theme park reservation before you can enjoy the parks. That's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Trivia Tuesday, when we ask a different trivia question every week. But first, here's Erica again with a message from our sponsor, Rothy's.
If you are still putting up with uncomfortable shoes, I'm here to tell you, you don't have to. Thanks to Rothy's. So what makes Rothy's so good? Well, a lot of things, but their unique seamless design is insanely comfortable the moment you put them on. And I'm talking right out of the box. And it's not just me. Other real customers like Lisa L. say, quote, "These shoes are like walking on clouds." And Julie A. says, "There's no break-in period, no blisters, just pure comfort." And because I've partnered with Rothy's for a while now, I've also heard from many of you who have fallen in love with Rothy's as much as I have. We all know it's comfort alongside style and sustainability that make Rothy's our go-to favorite flats. For the sustainable part, they're made with materials like plastic water bottles. And for the style, well, they're always available in a variety of super cute shapes, styles, and colors, so you can find the perfect pair for you. So upgrade your closet with washable, sustainable, stylish shoes and bags from Rothy's. Head to rothys.com/newsworthy to find your new favorites today. That's Rothys, rothys.com/newsworthy.
Now back to Trivia Tuesday. Today's trivia question is, what TV series showed the first interracial kiss on American network television? Find and follow us on Instagram at NewsworthyPod to play along and find out the answer in our Instagram stories. As for last week's trivia question, what year was the very first model of the iPhone released? The answer is 2007. At the time, AT&T was the only wireless provider to carry it. It was the first smartphone with a touchscreen. It also had a megapixel camera and a photo library, but you couldn't send pictures over text yet, and videos weren't an option yet either. The iPhone ran on 2G wireless internet. As Business Insider explains, that's about as slow as home internet used to be before high-speed broadband came about. The original iPhone cost $500 for a 4-gigabyte model. An 8-gigabyte model was priced at $600. That year, Apple sold nearly 2 million iPhones, and Time magazine named it the invention of the year. All right, thank you for turning to The Newsworthy to get your news each day. As always, we'll be back with more news tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.